Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Will you join me in prayer? Living God, help us so that we hear your holy word and that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and your glory in all that we do, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The story of the woman with the alabaster jar appears in all four Gospels. Usually, that means it's something extraordinary that no one should forget. Not only that, Jesus makes a point to instruct those present to remember the woman. Alongside the story today, we hear from the psalmist, who also speaks of extravagant love and presence in the midst of the valleys of the shadow of death. The tradition of anointing with oil goes back a long ways. And in this psalm, the image of being bathed in oil is set at the table with which an overflowing cup symbolizes the kind of love we are to emulate as children of God and disciples of Christ. The 23rd Psalm, a Psalm of David, this time coming to you from the Common English Version. Listen for maybe a new way to hear God's word. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He lets me rest in grassy meadows. He leads me in restful waters. He keeps me alive. He guides me in proper paths for the sake of his good name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. You set a table for me right in front of my enemies. You bathe my head in oil. My cup is so full it spills over. Yes, goodness and faithful love will pursue me all of the days of my life, and I will live in the Lord's house as long as I live. This is the word of the Lord. All four gospel writers share a story of a woman anointing Jesus. Many of us probably put this story together with bits and pieces from all four Gospels, much like we do the Easter and the Christmas story. In our text today that is found in the Gospel of Mark, which is the oldest New Testament book in our canon, we actually find a very simple story. An unnamed woman, other Gospels will identify her as Mary, arrives at a dinner which Jesus is attending. She comes with an alabaster jar full of a very expensive perfume called nard, which she uses to anoint Jesus on the head, which, by the way, is how you anoint kings. This unknown woman comes to anoint Jesus for burial, and her reception by all but Jesus is less than hospitable. And Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you, Wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of me. I think this is an opening for us to talk not only about this one unnamed woman, but all the women in the gospel whose stories are not remembered and not told. So, she did what she could with what she had. Let me first begin by saying there is no reason to assume that any of these women, including the anointing woman in Luke's version of the story, earned their income through prostitution. We don't have that as a fact, my friends. Women could have been given gifts of money by family members, and they could have earned money through textile work, pottery, wet nurse, healing, cooking, cleaning, hairdressing, even investing. We aren't told how this woman affords such a costly perfume. Clearly, the woman who has been anointed Jesus has access to some funds to buy perfume that could have supported a family for approximately a year. And if we get hung up on the cost of this extravagant gift, we miss the tender moment of an anointing that will not actually happen at Jesus' death. How often do we miss a moment because we make assumptions that may or may not be true? She did what she could while she could. We don't know much about this woman. She's unnamed. We do know she's uninvited. She's not on the guest list. It was a private dinner party. So she bravely risked, we have no idea what, just to anoint Jesus for his death. Surely there was some compelling sense of needing to do this that must have been in her heart. How often are we this brave? It's much easier to fade into the crowd or let someone else risk bravery. She did what she could regardless of the critics. So while Mark doesn't tell us who complained, who complained? Who complained? Judas, right? Even though we don't have it in this particular text, it is mentioned in a text. So we make an assumption that Judas was complaining. And because of that, it actually gives us a compelling reason to understand Judas' betrayal and make us feel better. And it's also an excuse for shaming this woman. We often get hung up on criticism. We see the logic in thinking this extravagant gift could have done so much for so many poor. We shame the extravagant gift giver without even wondering what compelled this unnamed woman to offer this honorable gift. It's much easier to be the judge than to be open for other possibilities. And she did what she could for Jesus. This woman, like so many women, Anna, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and John, Johanna and Susanna, Mary and Martha, and so many more, followed Jesus because he spoke to their hearts. He healed their bodies, and they found peace in his presence. So I wonder, are we ourselves moved by this unnamed woman's generosity and outpouring of emotion? Or are we the uncomfortable ones, as Jesus refers to his own death? It would seem that this unnamed woman knew more about the impending days than the disciples who had taken Jesus' word about his death and not really paid attention. And this unnamed woman was very serious, and she responds. Does our complaining or anger really serve to hide our own fear? I don't know about you, but sometimes it seems easier to point a finger at someone's actions and point out all the reasons it's not a good idea, because we don't want to look like we've missed the point. Like, Jesus is gonna die. Jesus invites us to tell this story. Jesus invites us in all four Gospels to tell this story in remembrance of her. It's an uncomfortable story to tell. And I think sometimes we forget that we are called to tell uncomfortable stories. We're called to tell uncomfortable stories even about things today. We are called to do that. The Right Reverend Marianne Edgar Buddy, that Episcopalian bishop in Washington, D.C., in case you don't know the name, says in her book, How We Learn to Be Brave, and yes, I would highly recommend it. She says, I examine life through the wider lens in hope for you readers will realize that you have all the raw material you need to live with courage and purpose in your decisive moments. And all the moments are preceded and follow them. And then she goes on to say, I want to be among a coalition of faithful. I want to be among those working for change we need now. That's the decision with which I need to align my life every day. Most decisive moments are personal. Some are private. Yet all are the moment that shape our lives and make us the people we are and who God calls us to become. This text calls us to task, to be brave and faithful followers of Jesus, and to continue to tell the uncomfortable stories and tell stories of bravery and faithfulness as well. John Wesley says, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Let it be so. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.